because there's an awful lot of questions and an awful lot of controversy out there.
Agencies and the community weigh in on Connolly Lake Hydro Project, and shareholders reject term limits for Sea Alaska board members. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Two public meetings took place this week on the Connolly Lake Hydro Project, bringing up questions and comments about the licensing process, environmental and wildlife concerns, and the overall effectiveness and energy output the proposed project might have. A meeting on Tuesday was met for involved agencies to air their comments and concerns about the draft plan for the hydroelectric project AP&T is proposing to build at Connolly Lake. A public meeting in Haines the next day was meant to gather public comment on the plan. But those plans were a bit thwarted when the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission emphasized that there has been no decision on what type of licensing process it will allow AP&T to use. Goat Lake Hydro, the entity of AP&T pursuing the project, has asked that FERC allow it to use a traditional licensing process in its application. Normally, these types of applications would use a so-called integrated licensing process by default. There are several differences between the two processes, but the one commonality, it seems, to the public is that both are extensive and confusing. Project manager Glenn Martin wrote in AP&T's pre-application document to FERC and explained at the public meeting with agencies this week that AP&T's main reason for wanting to use the traditional process is that it allows the federal agency to draft an environmental assessment. He claimed the integrated process allowed the applicant to draft this assessment. Martin said the public would have more confidence in the project if FERC drafted the environmental documentation.
Our sense was that the public might feel more comfortable with FERC doing an impartial environmental assessment. Now, in the other processes, they're still going to review our environmental assessment that we develop and determine whether it's accurate or whatever. But from a comfort level for the public, we thought that you might prefer FERC to develop this environmental assessment.
But Jennifer Hill, chief of the Northwest Branch for Hydropower Licensing with FERC, said on the teleconference meeting that actually, FERC prepares the environmental assessment in both processes and after the license application is filed.
For either the integrated licensing process or the traditional licensing process, the initial NEPA-like document is prepared by FERC.
FERC also said at the Tuesday meeting that since it had not yet ruled on what process it will allow AP&T to use, the public meetings were preliminary and would need to be held again after that decision is made sometime in late July or August.
So FERC has not decided yet what process would be appropriate for Connolly Lake. We're still waiting for comments. The comment period ends on July 19, 2012. We'll look at those comments and make a determination, and then we'll issue documents that will say what process could be used. That is then the trigger of the 30 to 60 days to have this meeting. You will need to have another meeting should a TLP be allowed. If an ILP, the default process is pursued, then there is another whole process entirely.
Still, the meetings offered insight into what various agencies and the public feel about the project thus far. In the teleconference meeting with agencies on Tuesday, several biologists and marine scientists said they have not been contacted by AP&T or its contractor, HDR, in Anchorage, to help coordinate environmental studies. Agencies said everything from environment, wildlife, fish, and sedimentation throughout the Chilkoot Valley needs to be studied to determine how the hydro project could affect all the resources. Monty Miller is a statewide hydropower coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He said AP&T needs to coordinate more with the agencies at this point.
My concern is that there doesn't appear to be much coordination within the various divisions of ADF&G with sport fish, common fish subsistence, with habitat other than the permit process, to determine what types of studies would be necessary to evaluate a project like this and how it would affect the environment. Now, we've heard that you've been doing things, but anybody can study anything at any time. You get the permit to go out and do the work. You go through the state parks to get your access permit, which you did. But that provides us no guarantees whatsoever that what you are looking at is necessarily what the agencies may need to look at to make a determination on this project. So I would encourage a greater level of consultation with not just ADFNG, but all the agencies. I think that would open the process up. It would benefit not just our information, but also some public information, because there's an awful lot of question and an awful lot of controversy out there.
A scientist with National Marine Fisheries Services said wintertime temperatures in Chilkoot Lake needed to be studied because of the effect it could have on incubation of salmon and spawning. The Fish and Wildlife Service suggested more studies regarding eagles in the area were also needed. Glenn Martin with AP&T said in a one-on-one interview on Wednesday he was not discouraged by the agency's response. He said there is still plenty of time to work with them and develop more studies. At the public meeting on Wednesday in Haines, Martin gave a presentation about the proposed project. There are four alternatives for road, materials, and various construction ideas for the hydro project. Martin also outlined the environmental concerns that have been identified. He explained how the power for the 12-megawatt project might help address the power needs for Haines. About 75 people attended the three-hour-long meeting on Wednesday, and most comments were critical of the project and the impacts it would have to the Chilkoot Corridor and watershed. Others, like resident Bill Kurz, questioned the economics and power projections for the project. Other concerns included how the project might affect native hunting and fishing rights in the Chilkoot watershed. Joe Hotch from Klukwan explains.
I'm from Klukwan, and we use this lake quite a bit. We had a village at Sibbenwan. Klukwan community had a little village. And that trail still goes over, same place. We had resources in that lake that still touches our heart.
Along those same lines, local archaeologist Anastasia Wiley spoke of the need for an ethnographic study of the area.
The whole system that you're talking about could potentially qualify as a traditional cultural place, using Bulletin 38 for the National Register of Historic Places, because of the amount of information that exists on the traditional land use of this area. So what I'm saying is that you've got a lot of scientific studies planned, but you have an archaeological study planned, but you need to do the ethnographic study before the archaeological study and way up front in your process, because that can identify areas of concern by the local people. So although your scientific plan, at least to me, seems to be quite solid, the cultural plan, I think, needs to be beefed up with an ethnographic study.
FERC said it expects to decide by late July or August which permitting process AP&T can use in its license application. The public can comment on the licensing process until July 19th under the e-filing link on FERC.gov. Sea Alaska Corporation shareholders have voted down a term limits measure. It called for limiting board of director members to 4 3-year terms for a total of 12 years. It only attracted a little more than a quarter of the voting shares required to win. Sea Alaska Corporate Secretary Nicole Halsingstad said shareholders also returned 5 incumbents.
The Sea Alaska board slate was reelected. Directors Albert Kukash, Barbara Cadiente Nelson, Bill Thomas, Joe Nelson, and Tate London were reelected.
3 independent board candidates lost: William Micklin, Raymond Austin, and Edward Sarabia Jr. Sea Alaska is the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska. It has more than 21,000 shareholders, with fewer than half living in the region. About 200 shareholders live in Haines and Klukwan. Election results were announced at Saturday's annual meeting, which was held in Juneau.
Approximately 350 of our shareholders joined us at Thunder Mountain High School for our annual meeting, and 417 of our shareholder households viewed the webcast of our annual meeting this year.
Last year's meeting in Haines attracted about a third as many people, but twice this year's webcast count. Those attending Saturday's meeting heard from Hawaiian Native leader Ninoa Thompson of the Polynesian Voyaging Society. Halsingstad said he spoke about Alaska Natives as cultural leaders. He also talked about a major expedition he's planning to several Polynesian islands.
It is designed for those paddlers to navigate the way the old Hawaiians did, merely by geography and the stars along the paths that their ancestors used to paddle. And he indicated that it would be wonderful if some Alaska Natives could join those Hawaiians on the voyage.
The board also voted to retain Sea Alaska's management team. This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your support.